10, and John has been teaching us about Jesus. One of the, again, I tell you, the main reason for the Gospels is for us to understand who Jesus is. And in chapter 10, it is Jesus explaining himself to us. He talks to us about shepherds and sheep and wolves and gates and sheep pens. And each one of these are like a metaphor that he uses to explain to us a part of who he is. Okay, every section, every piece explains us. He wants us to know who he is, right? And what is our relationship with him? I think this is, I shared some of this with the kids actually on Friday, because I just like how simple it is in one sense and how profound it is on another. So, you know, we're going to learn more about Jesus. Good thing, right? All right. So Jesus, and this is John chapter 10, says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. I've got echoing going on, and it's going to be, okay, nobody's back there. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep and the watchman of the gate. You just need to turn off everything, but yeah, okay. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So first of all, Jesus is telling people something they know. And I know a lot of you know this about sheep, right? You've heard this if you've been in church and you've ever come across people and some of the illustrations about sheep. We all know that sheep have an ear for the shepherd's voice, for their own shepherd's voice. So you can have two or three flocks in one pen, and a shepherd can go to the gate and call out, and his sheep, only his sheep, will follow him. The rest will stay put. And you know, so Jesus is using that understanding to explain who he is. And here it is. Jesus is the legitimate voice of God. Jesus, you know, a lot of people claim and have claimed to be the voice of God. You have the going back, you know, ancient, the Vedas of Hindu religion. It claims that that's, you know, words of God or about God or from God. So the voice of God. You have Muhammad, you know, more recent, 600 AD. Muhammad claimed to be, you know, the voice of God. And they say that he is the prophet of God. A lot of voices, a lot of people have claimed to be the voice of God. If you go back to the Old Testament, you had Baal and you had Molech and you had all these pagan religions, Dagon, all these false gods. And they all claim to be the voice of God. And so what does Jesus say? He says the man that comes in the pen illegitimately, right, makes a claim. Now, how did Jesus hear? So Jesus, I'm claiming, and he's claiming to be legitimate. How did he get that legitimacy, right? How is it that Jesus is the legitimate voice of God? And if we know about Jesus, we know that Jesus being God, chapter 1, verse 1, right? That Jesus being God, being creator, being full of life, being the one empowered to give authority for us to become the children of God, right? Jesus was put in place before the foundation of the world. Before God said, let there be light, there's Jesus. There's the idea of Jesus coming to save his sheep. And so his coming isn't his own idea. He didn't make this up. This was ordained and elected by God. God called Jesus the shepherd of the sheep. God sent Jesus, you know, to the earth, right? God so loved the world that he sent him, his only begotten son, right, into the world, right? This is, so Jesus is God's person, and again, God and God's person all at once, right? And the voice of God for mankind. He is singularly. Not a voice. He doesn't say, you know, the one who enters is a shepherd. He says he is the shepherd. He is the shepherd of the sheep. Right? And then he says, so anybody that climbs over the wall and comes in illegitimately, what does he say about them? They are thieves and robbers. So you know, it's like people ask Christians, how can you say that Jesus is the only one? How can you say that that's the only truth? Well, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said if people, listen, Jesus is God's plan. The Father sends the Son to save us, right? That's God's plan. Anybody else, you think about it, and we'll explain some of this as we go through this, that if you think about what they're doing, for example, Muslims have no understanding of sin, holiness, or how to become righteous. It's not in their religion. Hinduism, same thing. There is nothing about God's holiness, the moral responsibility to do what's right so that you can be close to God. There's no real relationship with God in any of these other religions. The only religion that cares about us, that cares about us being able to be with God, is Jesus Christianity, our faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, I am, you know, I'm the one that comes in legitimately, and the sheep, now this is the good part, the sheep hear his voice, right? I told you, right? So how did you become a Christian? How did you become a Christian? Somebody had to tell you about Jesus. You can't be a Christian without hearing about Jesus. You can't be a Christian. And when you heard that word, when you heard that truth about who Jesus is, when you heard the voice of God, because it comes through Jesus, right? Your heart said, yes, that's right. You know, there was something that draws us to God. We don't know why. It doesn't matter why to me. What's important is it happens. That when you hear. So Jesus says, when you hear my voice, right? Hear the voice of Jesus, hear the voice of God, hear it, the legitimate voice. He says the sheep respond, you know. I always tell the kids when I'm talking to you, sometimes in the summertime we'll have like, you know, 200 kids, and I have like 60 young men, Christians age, you know, 60 guys. And I'm trying to tell them, and I say, some of you guys belong to God. Some of you belong to God. How do you know if you belong to God? The voice of Jesus. When you hear the truth, when you hear the gospel, when you hear about Jesus, your heart, your soul, it just cries out, amen, that's right, that's where I need to be. You recognize that voice. You recognize that voice. So it's a really awesome way Jesus explains, and we can call this theologically election. And that's a scary word for some people. Yeah, what do you mean? But it really just simply means that God had a plan. That God had a legitimate plan to save us. God had a person to come and bring us out of the pen, if you will, and into God's kingdom. And that person is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus speaks, we hear him. He says, you know, they won't follow the stranger. They won't follow the thief, right? He says, as a matter of fact, they run away. I go back, you know, things I talk about sometimes are way back. I don't know if any of you remember, there was a guy named Jim Jones who was a cult leader, and he led all of his flock down to South America and killed them all, right? Yeah, and he's not alone. But I heard tapes of this guy, and I said, if I would have sat there for 2 minutes, I would have bolted out the back door so fast and screamed to everybody, get out of here, this guy's nuts. Because he wasn't talking about Jesus, he was talking about himself. And every word that he said was, you know, just twisted and corrupted. And there's a lot of that out there. That, you know, one of the problems that we have these days is there's a whole bunch of voices. We have more voices, we hear more messages, more voices, more internet, more television, you know, more information than we've ever had before. And those voices are always coming. The one thing that helps me feel, okay, we can still be okay, even though we're being told a million things from a million sides, because if we know the voice of Jesus and we hear the voice of Jesus, the people that belong to him are going to say, yeah, I'm going to follow that. I'm not going to go after every crazy thing I hear. I'm going to follow the voice of God, the voice of Jesus. And that's it. So Jesus gave us this very simple point. And the thing is, again, just to remember, Jesus is the legitimate voice of God. That's just a really important aspect of this little metaphor. Then it says in verse 6, it says, and the people didn't understand what he was trying to tell them. Go figure, right? They didn't understand. So he tells them another metaphor. And this time he says, therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate of the sheep. And really, I am the sheep gate. Okay, all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. Think of that. But the sheep didn't listen to them. See how smart the sheep are. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. All right? So, yeah, you, when I get done with that, you would say amen. Yeah. Because some people have twisted that to mean things it never meant. But here, this is another one of the ego e me statements in John. That's the name of God from the Old Testament. I am. So you know, there's several of these in John. And none of them are literal, but they're all saying, you know, they're singularly connected to eternity. It's God, right? So he's pointing, every time he uses that, he's pointing to who he is as God, eternal, God in flesh dwelling, God the Word of God, God the Messenger, God the Gate. We know later, some of us know the text that's coming up later in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? That is, you know, I am the gate, I am the way. I am the only way to get with God. That's really what he's saying. I am, singularly. Again, it's not I am a way or I am a gate, I am a door. And the word could be translated door. They're talking about sheep pens, so they use the word gate. But if you just think of a door, right? What does a door do? You go from one place to another, right? And what's he talking about? Oh, you know, we could go a lot of different directions with this. But what's he want for his sheep? He wants his sheep to be able to be saved. To be saved, to be protected. One of the things the shepherd does, and we'll see that in a minute, is he protects the sheep. He does not want the sheep to get hurt. He doesn't want them to get lost. He protects the sheep. He wants to keep them safe, fed, and protected, right? Watered and everything like that. So he says, I want them to be saved. They will be saved, and they will go in and come out, and they will find pasture. Now again, he's talking about sheep, right? What do sheep need? Grass and water. And so one of the things shepherds do is, again, they would open the door, they would call their sheep would follow them, and they would lead them. That's why I had them read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He brings me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, right? So all of that is about protection, care, spiritual nurture. And these are the things Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying his role with the sheep is to take care of them, to protect them, to keep them safe, and to feed and water, to nurture them spiritually and physically. That 23rd Psalm, both things. You know, still waters, green grass, restores my soul. Spiritual, physical, nurture, right? Now, that's what he wants to do, and he wants us to have life. And how much life? He wants us to be filled with life. And I tell you, folks, there's a quality to life with God. It has nothing to do with what we have in our pockets. It has nothing to do with where we live. It has to do with what's going on inside of us. A quality of life with God that leads towards holiness, righteousness. A quality of life with God which leads to the ability that yeah, when the storms come, I'm on a rock because I call on the name of my Father and he gives me strength to endure. Or when good things are happening, I don't let it get to my head and ruin my life. right? Or when I'm hearing all the crazy messages of the world, he keeps me straight. He says, no, no, this is the way. This is the path. This is where it's going to be safe, right? That's life. That's real life. It's not, you know, following every crazy message and every trouble destroys us. It's about being with God, the greatest shepherd of all. Again, the Lord is my shepherd, right? So Jesus said, now, on the other side, the guy that jumped the fence, right? Now, think about this. You know, when you think about cults, when you think about false religions, think about what are they doing? Most of them are engaged in it for themselves. They want money. They want power. They want position. Okay? And they're not thinking about the sheep. They're not thinking about the people and their walk with God. They're not thinking about righteousness and holiness. They're not trying to help people know God and have God in their lives and in their hearts. They're thinking about themselves. So he says they're there to rob. They're thieves and robbers. This is the second time he's called them robbers. They're thieves and robbers. Whenever you hear somebody in the name of Jesus talking more about money than about Jesus Christ, and more about money than about holiness, more about money than you know, the kingdom of heaven, run from that person, because they're only in it for the money and they don't care about you. They don't care about you. They don't care whether you live or die, whether you get saved or don't get saved, whether your heart gets right with God or doesn't get right with God. He's saying to them, he says, you know, I'm here. Jesus is there to feed them, to take care of them, to keep them safe, and to give them life with God, life to the fullest, right? The thief, he only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Again, the sheep don't listen to him. Jesus here, again, is another ego in me, another I am, okay? He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. One of the aspects of being a shepherd, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod, anybody know what the rod is there for? What's the rod do? You crack the wolf on the head with the rod. That's what a shepherd's rod is to. If a bear comes, you're protecting the sheep. You set yourself between the bear and the sheep, and you have your rod, and you club that guy, because you're not letting the bear get to the sheep. And a good shepherd will lay his life down for the sheep. A good shepherd will stand between the enemy and the sheep, right? And Jesus says, ego e me, I am the good shepherd. And he says, why? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What did Jesus give in order to make us able to be with God? He gave his life. He died on the cross. He suffered death so that we wouldn't have to. He took our sins upon himself and he died. See, the enemies, the wolf that was coming, the big wolf. There are a lot of little wolves out there. But the big wolf is Satan, sin, and death. Those characters had people locked down and separated from God. And Jesus, the good shepherd, the ego in me, I am the good shepherd. He stood, and here comes Satan, and here comes death, and here comes sin to destroy, right? And Jesus Christ clubbed each one of them, one after the other, after the other. John says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Romans tells us that we can be free from sin because of the gift of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ destroyed the power of the enemy in order to protect the sheep, and it cost him his life. That is a good shepherd. See, Jesus, there's no, you know, again, I'm just trying to show you the difference. What did Muhammad do for the sheep? Nothing. He didn't die for them. He didn't even tell them a way to know God. If you really talk to a Muslim, they don't know if they're right or not. They don't know if they've ever done enough good or whatever they try to do in order to be right. They don't know. They have no means of salvation. Hinduism, same thing. You name the religion. There is no other religion on earth that tries to establish holiness and righteousness and help us to be right with God. And that came through the Good Shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He loved us more than he loved himself. God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him would have life, eternal life. So Jesus is the good shepherd. The hired man, again, the opposite, the hired person, he says, he sees the wolf, he runs. He leaves the sheep to the wolf. Why? He's not there for the wolf, for the sheep. They don't belong to him. He doesn't care about them. He's there for other reasons. When the wolf comes, he's gone. He's gone. Right? Not Jesus. Not Jesus. Jesus is a good shepherd, right? The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. That's what Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. Again, same thing. Ego and me. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. This is awesome. I know my sheep. Don't you ever think about that? Because sometimes we think about our relationship with God as going from me this way. But it doesn't go that way. God knew you first. God loved you first. God called you first. Before you called on him, God called on your name. He says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Isn't it good to know the Lord? Isn't it good to know Jesus? Isn't it good to walk behind the shepherd? I'm not trying to figure this out on my own. I got someone who cut a clear path for me, and I'm following behind him, right? It's good to be known by him. He says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, this is the Father's plan. It's his plan. He says, he's talking about this relationship. We'll see it again in just a minute. The relationship between Jesus and the Father and us and the Father and Jesus. That becomes, in the latter chapters of John, a very big part of what Jesus is telling us about us. That we are part of a family. We're not strangers. We're not servants. We are being called to be part of a family. Known by God, knowing God and being with God, right? Okay. So then he says this, and I just, again, there are a lot of points in this, but listen to what he says. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Sad to say that some people use that to talk about coming to talk to Indians, long time ago. Not true, didn't happen. What's he talking about? He says, I have other sheep that don't belong. Well, he's talking, first of all, Jesus is sharing with the Jewish people. And soon after the disciples take his place and go to share the gospel, go to talk about Jesus, right? They begin, chapter 10 of Acts, they begin to talk to Gentiles and others. And then from there, it keeps going. And you go generation after generation. God is still speaking. Jesus is still speaking to us. He's still calling people. He's still bearing witness to the plan of God and calling us to be with him. He said, they too will listen. What will they listen to? Well, everything that he said before, they will listen to the voice of Jesus. One of the things that's very important for us, and I know some of us are engaged in evangelism and trying to help people know God. One of the things that's very important for us is as much as possible to be able to communicate the voice of Jesus. To say things that Jesus would say. To be in line with his words. Not making our own up. But being in line with his or why. Then they will hear. If they belong to him, if they're his sheep, and they hear that voice, that's what they'll come to. They'll hear the voice of Jesus through us, through those who are following Jesus, through those who know Jesus, through those who are in that relationship with God. Right? The Father loves him because he lays down his life. No one took it from him. He said nobody took his life. Jesus gave it for us. Right? So here it is. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the legitimate voice of God. There is no other. There is no other. Only as well as we can imitate His voice, His words, His ideas, can we be the voice of God. Can we help others to know God? Jesus is the legitimate voice of God. He is the means to spiritual nurture, safety, and life. Jesus is the means, right, to nurture, safety, and life. Nobody else. He is the one, the only one, who laid His life down for the sheep. He came and died for us so we could be with the Father. Only the Good Shepherd brings God's people into fellowship with God. Okay? This is what John, actually, these are the words of Jesus. These aren't John's words. These are Jesus' words to explain Himself to us. It's good to follow the Shepherd. It's good. We are blessed. We are blessed if we know His voice. We are blessed if we're following behind Him. We are blessed if we have that security, that life of God going on in us because of Him. We are blessed that we have a Shepherd that loves us so much that He would lay down His life for us. We are a blessed people if we are following behind the Shepherd who brings us to God, the Father. Amen. Amen. We're actually, I have some good news before we sing our song. One, we found out this week that the bridge is not going to touch our buildings. Yeah. Hey. Two, we're working on getting air conditioning for this building.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Christ Alone, I think, right? Or no, we had two songs to choose from. Huh?
Christ Alone.
Well, there it is.
Thank you. we just thank you so much, Lord God, for laying down your life for us, Lord Jesus, for always looking out for us, Lord God, for protecting us, Lord Jesus, for keeping us close to you, Lord God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we would honor you and glorify you and trust you and love you on the way that you love us, Lord God. Just help us to know more and more who you are and to love more and more who you are and to try to be more and more like you. We just thank you for the good news, Lord Jesus, that you're going to let us continue to do our work here in this space, Lord God. And we just pray that you'd continue to bless and watch over this church as we try to do your work here in this city, Lord God, in this neighborhood.
Yes.
We just pray you'd bless us and continue to give us your spirit and your truth in order for us to be able to serve you faithfully.
Yes, Lord.
In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Make sure you say hello to a couple of people at least.